Right now, we welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson, joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Jacobson. Good to see you back in the district.
Hey, it's great to be back for the long weekend.
Did you enjoy the Easter weekend?
We did, yes.
Good.
Great to get back here and have a little break and nice weather. And so we had a few things to finish up on Friday in Lincoln, so didn't get back here till Saturday afternoon, but really great weather on Saturday, and had a great Easter yesterday, and today I've got meetings at the bank and a couple of hospital meetings, and then back to Lincoln.
Now, I will stress, with those hospital meetings, that's your work as a member of the board of Great Plains Health.
Correct. Okay, yes, yeah. Yes.
Some folks
yes.
probably are just a little worried about the senator maybe having some hospital meetings.
Yeah, no. Let me be clear
no
about that.
No personal hospital.
All on the up and up.
That's correct.
Now, Senator Jacobson, you and your colleagues off today and Friday, right? You had Good Friday off?
We did, yes.
Good. But you had some things to do back in Lincoln Friday.
Yeah, I usually got some meetings and so on that are happening, and so I stuck around on Friday and took care of some things on Friday in Lincoln, and then came back here on Saturday morning.
Oh, good. And we were talking off the air. How do you feel it's been going down at the legislature since the change in rules was introduced by Senator Erdman a couple weeks ago?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, the rule change that took place really wasn't as effective as maybe it could have been because they were, you know, the other side was really anticipating the rule change and figuring out how to skirt that rule. And the challenge with the rules of the legislature is if you want to filibuster, if you want to do what's being done, the rules really allow for that unless you really take a real strict interpretation of the rules, which the speaker at this point has been reluctant to do. And but at the same time, I think the speaker has a good plan in terms of where he wants to take us, and that plan includes late nights. And so last week we were prepared to go to after 11 o'clock, and it seemed like we got about midnight, or we got to about 10 o'clock, and then that's when Senator Kavanaugh and Senator Hunt decided that they were done. And so they pulled all of their amendments and motions that were out there blocking things, and we finished the remainder of the items that were on the calendar for the day. You need to keep in mind that the speaker is going to put out a calendar, and you can for each or an agenda for each day, and the agenda you can see on Chamber Viewer. And so once that agenda is printed, those are the only items you can discuss that day. So I know I've in my meeting with the speaker, I encouraged him to make certain that he had plenty on that agenda, because you know you could schedule to go at 11 o'clock at night, but if all of a sudden the filibuster came to a stop, you could pass a whole bunch of bills in pretty short order, and then all of a sudden you just wasted the rest of the day anyhow, because you ran out of agenda items. So let's just make sure we've got enough items on the agenda to carry us, and of course, making sure that there's something that's somewhat controversial to where you, if you know you're going to have the filibuster. But I would say that this week we will be going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, and the plan is to go late, 11 o'clock plus. And so we'll start at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll take a half-hour break, I believe, at lunch, and then a short break in the evening, and then we're gonna go the distance. And so I will tell you, based upon the late night last week, along about 10 o'clock, I think they're getting tired. And if we go this week, 11 o'clock, three nights in a row, or we can go to 11:59, I'm guessing that they're going to get tired. And also keep in mind that you've got other senators that of the same political party who really are pretty pretty frustrated with the process there, and they would like to get some things done. So you've really got three or four. You've got two primary senators that are leading the filibuster. You've got two or three others that will join in from time to time.
Contributors,
right?
Kind of what I've been calling them.
That's what I would say too. But I think all of them have gotten a pretty good taste that when they've got an amendment or a bill that comes up, you're going to get a lot of no votes from the other side. And so if you've got an agenda, you've got some bills that you want to get passed, joining in the filibuster probably wouldn't be a good way to get that done. You can't get the 25 votes when you need your stuff done. So that's also the other thing to keep in mind when it comes to the filibusters is besides running late at night and wearing you down, you also need to understand that you're not going to get any of your bills passed. Mm-hmm. And that at some point's got to soak in to anyone who wants to participate in the filibuster process, that it's going to cost you. And we are getting things done. I mean, we moved forward the tax bills last week on first round. This week will get kind of exciting because we do have the heartbeat bill scheduled for Wednesday, so we'll get that on from general file. We'll get it moved to select, and although it'll be filibustered, the votes are there to move that bill forward. And then at some point this week, I expect that we're going to get Senator Brewer's LB-77 constitutional carry. That's on final reading, so there's a two-hour filibuster there.
That will controversial bill after controversial bill, Senator.
Exactly. Although this will be likely, amazingly enough, the first bill to get through all three rounds and end up on the governor's desk for signature. So I think Governor Pillen is really looking forward to being able to sign constitutional carry as the first bill out for him for his signature.
What a milestone that'll be for not just Governor Pillen, but most importantly for Senator Brewer.
Senator Brewer, that's been his priority bill now 7 years in a row. So he's really ecstatic about finally getting it to this point in time. And I don't think he wants anybody to jinx him at this point, but the votes are there to move it forward. Senator Ray Aguilar is back, and he's we've kind of having him take it easy, but he did have the knee surgery and had his joint replaced and back in again, and so.
And he's in a different seat last week, right?
Well, what we do is that because he's in a wheelchair, we put him back in the back. Claire in the back on the other side, so he's back behind me, and it's just easier to get in there with the wheelchair because there's no seat, there's no permanent chair there.
Well, actually, your District 42 constituents put Senator Aguilar there to make sure that you're in line, Senator.
That Anderson. Might be part of it, too.
Yeah, we're working with Senator Aguilar. So. What a great guy he is.
He is a very nice guy.
Very committed.
Very committed. I think he really felt bad that he wasn't there before, and we had to push off some things because he was the 33rd vote on a number of bills, but it looks like he's going to be there, so we'll be able to bring what we're doing. We're going to bring the agenda forward, and as I had said before in one of my weekly columns, you know, no matter whether we have a filibuster or not, I think a lot of people need to look at the fact that we will get the budget passed, we will get the tax cuts passed, we will get the education reform bills passed, and we will get the controversial bills, social bills passed. And so really what we're not going to get passed because of the filibuster are a number of bills that were likely spending bills or bills that were important to other senators, and those bills will not get heard. So, you know, if you're sitting in the governor's seat right now, life's pretty good. You're going to get your agenda passed. You're going to get your budget passed, and there's not going to be a bunch of spending bills that get across that you have to deal with. So, from his standpoint, I'm sure he's looking at this saying, "Oh, yeah, that's okay. It's not broke that bad. Just don't fix it. Just move forward
almost,
what you got."
Almost a win by default.
It is almost a win by default.
So,
that's correct.
Go for it.
Now, Senator Jacobson, we need to talk about a bit of a shock to the Nebraska legislature last week with the quick resignation of Senator Suzanne Geist, and that's a bit of a loss, too, with her seniority and her leadership.
Well, we knew that it was likely going to come at some point. I know Senator Geist is running for mayor of Lincoln, and we knew this last year that she was in the race when she declared her candidacy for the mayor. In fact, when we elected committee chairs in January, she ran for the chairmanship of the Transportation and Telecommunications Committee. And there were some reluctant to move her into that chairmanship because they were questioning whether she had the time to do it with her campaign.
Sure.
And then they were also concerned that if she were elected, that then she would be required to resign.
Right.
So she did become the chair of that committee, and she did spend the bulk of the time in the legislature, but I think she got close to where they had the primary election, and the Lincoln mayor race is a nonpartisan race, so it was she and one other Republican who were running against the incumbent mayor, Larian Baird, and Mayor Baird got less than 50% of the vote, but she got close to 50%. So if Senator Geist would get all of the votes she got in the primary, plus that of her Republican colleague who also ran, this should be a dead heat for mayor. So I think once she realized that, she felt that it was time to resign. If she really wanted to go all in for the mayor's race, she needed to really resign her seat. And keep in mind that she would be term limited at the end of this next year. So she would have 60 days next year, and of course the back half of this, the remaining part of this legislative session. So I think her thought is, I'm going to just resign my seat from the legislature. She decided then to give full attention to the mayor's race, and then if she wins the mayor's race, great. If she doesn't, well, at least she gave her full effort. So I think that was her focus. And to be honest with you, if you think about it, when you're in a primary or when you're in a general election race, besides the time you're going to need, if you're in the legislature every day and you're going late nights,
oh, God.
How on earth are you going to be able to properly campaign?
Just don't have enough time to do it.
You don't.
You can speak to this better than anybody, Senator James. And you were focused on the legislature when you were in the midst of a campaign and put the campaign on the back burner to focus on your work in the legislature.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. And that really, I think once she really saw the lay of the land of what was happening here, and the fact, clearly the fact that we're going to go late nights, I think that was kind of the final straw. And keep in mind, too, we've got a number of controversial bills that we're going to be looking at, and she's going to, those are probably not going to bode well for her in the mayor's race. Let's face it, Lincoln is probably not seen as a conservative stronghold, and so
she's already got the conservative votes in Lincoln. I would
that's right.
Say.
I'd say that's probably right.
All
yes.
three of them.
Yeah.
Her husband, herself.
That's right. That's right. So that will make a difference. I think that there really wasn't a whole lot of upside to her by continued service in the legislature at this point.
So Governor Pinlin appointed her replacement last week. Is
correct.
This an individual that you've had much working experience with previously, Senator?
Really?
Had a chance to meet yet?
I did meet her. I've had no. I don't think anybody really knew who she was when she was appointed.
The Lieutenant Governor did, though.
Oh, yes.
Governor Kelly's worked with her.
Yes. Carolyn Boson, she's from Columbus originally. There's a long time personal relationship with the Governor Pillen's family. Be that as it may, she's very capable. She is an attorney. I think Creighton Law School. I think she went to Baylor for undergrad. She's worked with the county attorney's office as a prosecutor, and she also worked with Lieutenant Governor Kelly alongside him in Lancaster County. So her background is prosecution. It's also she's been involved in I think child neglect cases and some of those kinds of things. Has that background, really doesn't have any background in the legislature, but does have background in politics.
The legal backgrounds are quite beneficial in the legislature from what I've observed.
They are, and I think that when you look at what's out there in the legislature, there are a number of Democrat senators right now who are attorneys. Senator Wayne is an attorney. Senator Conrad's an attorney.
Senator Slama now, right?
Senator Slama, but Senator George Dungan was a county defender, public defender in Lancaster County, and now Senator Slama just got her law degree. So, yeah, and, you know, having a law degree is helpful when it comes to understanding and reading the bills. The alternative is you do it my way. You grew up in the school of hard knocks, and you learn firsthand what all these bills mean. So nothing like a business background that gives you that kind of balance.
Nice to have a little bit of both in the legislature, I'd say.
It really does. You really got to understand how the law works and what these bills do, and then you have to have, I think, the business background to really understand how they can be implemented and does this really work.
Senator Jacobson, let's talk a little bit about the governor's education proposal. It was forefront of the Nebraska legislature last week with Senator Sanders carrying the bill at the request of the governor. Where do you stand on this proposal?
Well, I'm supportive of the bill, 583. This is a bill that really is designed, if you think about it, you've always heard that Nebraska ranks nearly last. I think we're 49th in the nation in terms of, and remember these words, state aid to public schools. Okay, so we're 49th in the nation in state aid to public schools. That doesn't mean that our public schools don't get funding. It means that the state portion of the funding is number 49th in the nation when you compare them.
And it doesn't mean that we're 49th in the country as far as how the kids would do and their intelligence level.
Well, and more importantly, it doesn't mean we're 49th in terms of total funding, because we're not, when you make that statement, 49th in the nation in state aid, you're not including property taxes.
Right.
So what it really is saying is that we have a significantly over-reliance in Nebraska on public on property taxes to fund our public schools. So this bill is really designed to change that situation. So now what's going to happen is we're going to provide significantly more state dollars to public school funding. There's going to be a what's referred to as a soft cap, meaning that you can't raise your revenues more than 3% per year without a 70% vote of the school board or a 60% vote in a special election to override the levy. So what that means is we're going to provide enough funding from the state level to allow you to get a 3% increase or a percentage increase of your student population increase. You could increase it more because of that. The rest of the dollars coming from the state need to be used to reduce your property taxes.
There's where I was going to go. Being able to add more money from the state does not necessarily mean you're going to reduce your property tax. I wanted to hear that.
That's where the cap comes in.
Okay.
That's where the cap comes in. Now, I'm going to also tell you it's a soft cap. It's a soft cap from the standpoint that it's 3% or the rate of growth, and if your rate of growth is higher than that, so, you know, sustainable beef comes in here, you bring a lot more students back into North Platte Public or the area public schools, then you may need to grow that further, but you will risk losing the state aid if you don't comply with reducing your property taxes accordingly. So that there's going to be a lot of pressure on the school board and or the voters to make certain that you do indeed follow through and make this a real property tax reduction. So people have often said, and we need to remember, property taxes are assessed locally. And so a lot of people say, what can the legislature do to reduce our property taxes? The way the legislature can reduce your property taxes is we can provide more state funding to the public schools, who are our largest property tax taker, and then they can then reduce their levy, which would reduce the what I would refer to the top line of your property tax collection. Now, also keep in mind, we're also increasing with the companion bill the amount of the income tax rebate that's coming back from the dollars that you pay towards your public school and your community college taxes. So that fund is increasing. This last year, we were able to get 30% of what we paid in public school property taxes rebated back to us as a refundable income tax credit. This going forward, we expect that 30% to grow and be a higher percentage moving forward. So the combination of lowering the top line of the property tax bill and increasing the rebate, which would I would say is a below-the-line credit back, we should in fact see significant property tax savings. That was one of my main goals in the legislature. We are going to deliver on that this year. That is one thing that will cross the finish line. So when people say we're not getting anything done, we're going to get this done, and it's probably the most important thing.
Now, Senator Jacobson, if there's any of your District 42 constituents that want to get in contact with you during this busy legislative session, how can they do so, sir?
Sure, they can give me a call at the office of 402-471-2729, and they can also email me at mjacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And I get a lot of emails, and Christine and Joe see the same emails. And so if I don't see it, they're going to bring it to my attention. But I, during the filibusters, if you see me on a computer, I'm usually responding to emails. So I do try to respond to emails from within the district.
Making productive use of your time during those filibusters.
I take a couple of computers. I take one from the legislature, and I take my personal one for the bank, and so I can get a little bit of work done there, too. So, yes.
And you're accessible during this time, Senator Jacobson. We're continuing our Monday morning updates, obviously, but you're also doing updates with the Chamber and Development Corporation weekly.
I do. Every Thursday morning, I do get on a call with the Chamber. Again, it's really a great opportunity to kind of hear from business leaders in terms of what concerns they may have, and anyone's welcome to join that call. Just contact the Chamber office. They'll give you the Zoom link to get in, or the phone call to be able to get in. I know there's a couple of newspapers that get on and listen, and others as well. And so I just feel like the more we can communicate, the more we know kind of what's going on. I appreciate I've had a very good relationship with Ryan Purdy through this time, because one of the bills would also eliminate the community colleges from paying for the community colleges. They would eliminate their taxing authority. So basically the state of Nebraska would pick up whatever they're currently collecting in property taxes to fund their educational needs. So that bill's likely going to move forward. Ryan Purdy and I had a number of conversations about how that would impact Mid Plains, and we were able to get the changes made that we needed to where they're fine with what the final bill looks like. So what you'll see is you'll still see a tax levy from the community college to repay the existing bonds that are out there, and then they do have an ability in the event that the state would not follow through down the road and fund them, that they could go back to the property taxes. But it looks like the way this is being set up, that would be funded through the state, just like the state colleges are and the university is.
Well, Senator Jacobson, we appreciate the time as always. Safe travels down the Capitol this week, and best of luck.
Thank you.